This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in today and for giving us a little bit of your time this afternoon. It's everyone's favorite segment of the week. I think it's a close tie with Woke or Joke. It's Two-Way Tuesdays, and that means it's your time to call in and ask Toby Leary any of your questions. The number is 844-500-4242, whether it be about a gun that you want to buy, whether it be a gun safety question, a safe question. Any question is welcome. A licensing question. A lot of times people call in about traveling from one state to another, what the rules are about that. It's a lot of responsible gun owners who want to do the right thing and want to get information about how to do that. And so Toby joins us now from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Toby, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Grace. Thanks for having me.
Now, Toby, you were all over the news these past couple of weeks because Massachusetts is breaking gun sales. Really historic numbers are being churned out as far as people, first time owners of guns who want to get involved in this. What do you think it is?
Well, I think, you know, they got it partly right in the news articles. I gave like an hour-long interview to WBUR a couple weeks ago, and that was boiled down into kind of 30-second clips, if you will, you know, some 30-second bites, and they played it, and they did a very good job. They also had somebody who was trying to be the, you know, the other side of the argument and say, oh, you're some of the age-old arguments of, oh, if you have a gun in the house, you're more likely to be shot by your own gun or than someone breaking in, and these are like 30-year-old talking points, so I'm pretty familiar with them by this point, but the bottom line is there's a couple of things that go into it. And Mark Smith from Smith & Wesson actually just released a press release, basically, or a kind of a rebuttal to him being subpoenaed by Congress to come talk and testify about Smith & Wesson's unethical business practices of, you know, basically saying that the result of gun crime in cities is all Smith & Wesson's fault, or name the gun manufacturer. And really, it comes down to years of soft-on-crime prosecutors, years of defund the police, years of watching our, you know, violent crime rates spike in some of these cities that are some of the most heavily gun-controlled cities in our nation. And so people are starting to say, hey, I might have to be my own first responder, or hey, I might need to take responsibility for my own safety. And they're saying a gun is a good choice for that. It's an efficient tool for that job. And so I don't think people are waking up or having trouble falling asleep at night in fear. I think they're being responsible and saying, you know what, I see the writing on the wall out here in these communities. And if I happen to live in one of these communities, I want to try and arm myself to protect myself and my family. So fear does play a part of it, but I wouldn't say it's the primary motivating factor behind it. I would say, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, and most of the problem lies at the politicians' feet who create these environments where the violent crime is on the rise, not the other way around. It's not the law-abiding, responsible gun owner or, you know, manufacturers who've manufactured a constitutionally protected product for 170 years. So that's really the difference. And so I was trying to bring that out in the article, but some of that got left on the cutting room floor. But I'm glad to see that it got some traction nationally. And you know, my father-in-law said, Well, you finally made NPR. And,
your lifelong dream, I'm sure. Toby,
yeah, <right. laughs>
there's an article that I saw today that I wanted to get your take on, because oftentimes we talk about how there's a lot of new gun owners in the Black population, the female population, and this stuck out to me. It said Asian Americans are buying guns in record numbers. More than 5 million people became first-time gun owners during the pandemic as gun sales to the community rose by about 43%. So Asian Americans are buying guns in record numbers as well.
Yeah, minorities in general have become, you know, one of the fastest growing demographics, women and minorities, and definitely the Asian community, who had a rough go of it there for a while, of people who were targeting them for, totally unfairly for, indiscriminate, type of racism and crimes against them. And one thing they've done historically well, which is defend themselves. And they did it, back in the L.A. riots when, the rooftop Koreans and everything else, they're legendary in gun world. But you look it up and they safely and efficiently defended their places of business when people were looting and killing and maiming and just indiscriminately robbing, and they actually defended their neighborhoods. And so I'm glad to see the minority population say, you know what, and they're, I think, a lot quicker to come to this conclusion than some of the white, majority of people out there, and that is, I'm going to defend myself, and I'm going to buy a gun. I'm going to get training. I'm going to buy everything I need to be a good, responsible gun owner. But I'm not going to be a victim. I refuse to be a victim, and I think that's great. And I think that's what everyone should take notice of that and say, you know what, they're on to something. They don't want to stand idly by and become another statistic. That's a ridiculous thing to do. And so my hat's off to all of the minority communities and a lot of the women that have chosen to take a class, get protection, and learn how to safely and efficiently use it.
Toby, I have more questions for you specifically about the Alec Baldwin case that has, shown up again in the news. But before we get to that, let's go to the callers. Bill, you're first up today on 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, hi, Toby and Grace. Toby, I was in your shop a few weeks back and had a great experience. Your staff was excellent. A gentleman that I had a conversation with brought up insurance for protection. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And from what I understand, there's several different types of insurances out there. I don't know if it's okay to mention names, but you'll just take it from there.
Yeah, sure. No, that's a great question, Bill, and that's something that a lot of people don't realize, because it sometimes doesn't get brought up in conversation. There's two companies that we do a lot of business with here and recommend. One is U.S. Law Shield, and one is USCCA. We definitely, advocate that if you're going to carry a gun or have a gun staged in the home for personal protection, then you should really get good carry insurance, or good protection, if you will. And both of these companies are very solid. They have slightly different, applications of it, but they're both very good. And what it really does is protect you in the aftermath of a defensive event. It doesn't even have to be with a firearm. It could be whatever the weapon of expedience was. It could be your car. It could be, a bat or a rock or whatever, your fists and feet. But really, the point is, if you're defending yourself against a violent encounter, they will come to your financial aid and pay all your legal bills. They have lawyers on staff or under retainer that are ready to jump in and be and represent you, because they know the industry. They know what they're up against. They know how to defend any type of charge. Because most of the time, even if you're not criminally charged, you might find yourself in some sort of civil lawsuit, and the financial aftermath of a defensive situation could be catastrophic for most people. So, it could easily reach hundreds of thousands of dollars. Even if it looks like an open and shut case of classic self-defense, it could still cost tens of thousands of dollars. So it's short money. I'm not a big insurance guy, but I do have it myself. And I think of all the types of insurance out there, this is one that I wouldn't go without.
All right. That's a pretty solid answer, Bill. Let's go to Joe. You're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys, I have a quick question. My brother lives in New Hampshire. He's going through a divorce, unfortunately. He wants to know if I can hold his firearms for him while he relocates to Massachusetts. I do have a license to carry, but he does not in the state of Mass. What do you think about that?
Are there handguns involved, or are they just long guns?
It's actually just a single handgun.
Mm-hmm. So you can't do a transfer across state lines of a handgun. And I would say as long as it's a Mass-compliant gun, you could have it shipped down to an FFL here, and then you could pick it up. And then you can hold it until he gets licensed in Massachusetts, and then you could transfer it back to him once he's here. There's also, there might even be some,
I didn't understand that.
There might even be some, what do you call it, FFLs up his way that would be willing to store the gun for him. There'd be a fee involved, I'm sure, but that would be another way to do it if you want to get the guns out of the house. Or anyone in his area, a friend in New Hampshire, could hold his guns for sure without violating any type of law in that case.
All right. Thank you, Joe. And 2A Tuesdays is brought to you by Fairway Financial and Cape Cod's retirement income specialist, Steve Anzoni. Go to fairwayfinancial.net. We'll be right back with the rest of your calls for Toby Leary. You still have plenty of time to call in and get your question answered. The number is 844-500-4242. We're going to be back with all of your questions. And if you want to text in at 63566, start the text with the word curly. We'll be right back.
Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Got to keep troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have full lines for Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. But before we go right back to your calls, global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets. It's incumbent on you to be prepared. Get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie10 to get 10% off your next purchase. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will the DOJ opt to release the affidavit?
No, I don't think they will.
61% say no.
Let's go to Artie, who's been waiting a long time. Artie, you're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Artie.
Thanks, Grace. How you doing, Toby?
Very good, thanks.
Quick question. I'm in the market. I want to buy a Smith & Wesson 460 pistol. I notice it comes in three barrel lengths, a 3, a 5, and an 8. Is there any advantage to any of those? And I won't be using it for a daily carry or anything like that.
Oh, come on. You should. It's a man's gun. No. I'm just kidding. The 460 Smith & Wesson is a heck of a round. It is, you know, very powerful. In fact, some argue it's the most powerful, even though I think the 500 Smith & Wesson carries the official title. But if you look at the details of the 460, it's pretty amazing. And the biggest advantage, in my opinion, is the longer the barrel, the more powder gets burnt and you get higher velocity. So if it was going to be a hunting gun, I would certainly go for the longer barrel if possible, because you'll get more velocity out of it, and therefore also probably some more accuracy with the longer sight radius, et cetera. But you'd probably have a scope on it if you're hunting anyway. But it's a great hunting or recreation-type gun. And the neat thing about that gun is it'll also shoot three different calibers. It'll shoot the .454 Casull and the .45 Long Colt as well. So you can actually shoot it for pleasure with the .45 Colt, and it's not going to quite have the stout recoil of the 460. So it's a cool gun. It's hard to find those right now. We have sold a bunch in the past. We just recently sold a 500 Smith & Wesson with the 8-inch barrel, and it's pretty, they're all just really cool guns. But I do like the 460 probably a little bit more than the 500 just because of the flexibility of the ammo type and availability of it.
All right. Thank you for the call, Artie. Let's go to Steve. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? How's everyone?
Good. What's going on?
I'd talk to you. Hey. I'm a licensed in Massachusetts, and my son's in New Hampshire. He just went into the service, and he gave me his 22 and his 9mm. What are the legal rights of me owning that and carrying and using them here in Massachusetts?
All right, so he's in what state now?
He's in the service. I'm in Massachusetts, and I'm holding
okay,
on
but he's
to his
from
rifle
Massachusetts as well. Yeah.
No, he moved to New Hampshire.
All right, but his guns are still in Massachusetts?
Yes.
Okay. If the guns are still in Massachusetts, you have. If he gives you the right to, you know, borrow his guns, go shoot them, use them, carry them, go take them to the local competition, local range, you know, concealed carry, whatever you want to do, there's no issue with that whatsoever. You are allowed to borrow his guns as long as you yourself are duly licensed. And, yeah, that's not a problem whatsoever. So there's no law that would prohibit you from using your son's gun.
All right. Thank you for the call, Steve. Let's go to John. You're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Toby. I have a question. This has been something I've been thinking about for a long time. Do different states allow local militias? Like, let's say five people just wanted to form their own militia. I mean, think about it. That's what the Second Amendment, it even has that wording in it. And when we had those riots a few years ago, I saw these black militias, like in Georgia, and I've heard of these Middle Eastern militias up in upstate New York.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going, John, so we're going to cut you off there. Let's go to the other John. John, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your question for Toby?
It's kind of an odd question, but I was always under the impression in Massachusetts, I'm licensed in Massachusetts, I was always under the impression that when you're carrying it always has to be concealed, and God forbid anybody sees the outline of a gun or your jacket blows up and they see it, you can be charged with brandishing. But I was having a discussion with a friend of mine who's a local cop, and he's actually saying that there's no law in Massachusetts that says you can't open carry. Is that true?
That's true. The law in Massachusetts does not distinguish between concealed or open carry. So it's just a license to carry. That's all it says. And like everything in Massachusetts, it's very ambiguous and vague. But one thing I would say is if somebody feels threatened by seeing your gun, like because you're open carrying and you look at them wrong or something like that, or they didn't think you, you know, were wishing them a good day or something like that, I don't know, and they feel threatened, they could potentially call the police on you. And this is kind of the talking point of around one reason I don't think it's a good idea to open carry. But you don't have to, like, worry about somebody seeing the outline of your gun through the shirt and you being charged or anything like that, because there's nothing to charge you with. You haven't brandished the gun in a threatening way, and if somebody notices you have a gun on them and they don't like it, that's tough luck for them.
All right. We'll be right back with more calls for Toby Leary. You still have plenty of time to get on the line. The number is 844-500-4242. Answering the rest of your questions when we return.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. The number, if you want to call in and talk to Toby Leary, is 844-500-4242. You are more than welcome to call in for this next segment. Toby is from Cape Gunworks. He's here to answer all of your 2A questions. So let's start with Rob. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, guys. Toby, I want to let you know that you and Grace, I look forward to this every week. I'm a recently have my license to carry. And my question is if I'm traveling from my home to the gun range and my gun is locked, is in a case and it's locked in the trunk, does the gun itself have to be locked?
No. You mean if it's in the locked trunk? Are you asking if the container that the gun is in has to be locked?
Yes, correct.
Okay. This is really stretching my extent of the knowledge. I should know this right off the top of my head, but because it's inaccessible if it's in the trunk, I don't think it would need to have a trigger lock or a cable lock on the case itself. But allow me to research that, and I will definitely circle back with you. But if it's in the locked trunk, I think you're good. But the transportation, if it's in the car with you, it has to be unloaded and locked if it's not within your direct control. So that's the way the wording of the law says, is that if it's outside of your direct control, it must be unloaded and locked. I just don't know if the trunk is qualifying as the lock, or if it needs to be, you know, like a special locking device that's approved by the colonel of the state police. I it might need to be, but I'll circle back on that with you, Rob.
All right. Thank you for the call, Rob. The number. Oh, sorry, Toby. Go ahead.
I was just saying he stumped the chump.
No, I mean, yes, you'll get ridiculed online tonight on all of the gun blogs, but that's just the risk you run when you come on the Grace Curley Show. If you want to call in and ask Toby a question, the number is 844-500-4242. We have plenty of time and the lines are open to get all of your questions answered before we bring on Howie in the next segment. Toby, I did want to steal you here for 1 second and ask you what you thought of the Alec Baldwin case, because his gun lie, according to Maureen Callahan from the New York Post, his gun lie is falling apart. You might remember that he claims he didn't pull the trigger. Now the FBI is saying he did. Toby, you've talked about this case on this show before. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I actually went out on a limb because I'm pretty confident that the modern firearm that he was using, that was a reproduction of the old gun, is not going to fail the way he was explaining it was going to fail. And then pictures even surfaced. I mean, the guy was on video and he's saying, I never touched the trigger, but pictures have emerged with his finger on the trigger. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say that my finger wasn't on the trigger and I didn't pull it when your finger is obviously on the trigger. And I talked about this extensively on my show. And like you said, we've talked about it on this show, where, you know, if the gun is, the hammer's back, the only way that hammer's going forward is if you press on the trigger. Now, you can let it down easy with your thumb on the hammer, and if you let your finger off the trigger with a hammer on the way down, the gun's still not going to fire. But the bottom line is, a gun that's been made after, say, I'm just making up a number, but somewhere in the mid-1980s and after, for the most part, as a general rule of thumb, you have to pull the trigger in order to get the gun to go bang. And there's been some exceptions and some, you know, design flaws in guns that have been rectified along the way. But most manufacturers these days are designing guns so that the only way they go off is a full rearward pull of the trigger to the fullest extent rearward. That's the only way the gun's going to go off. And so I talked about that quite a bit. And I said, he's digging himself a deeper hole. His lawyers must be, you know, texting him right now, shut up, because you are really blowing it big time. But he really went all in and said, no, I never touched the trigger. I would never pull the trigger. And then all these pictures came out. Plus, I got it on video. It's just ridiculous. So
yeah, I thought the same thing when he kept doing all these interviews, talking to people on the side of the road. I thought, I don't know a lot about how to handle these cases. I don't have a legal background. But I know that it never hurts in life to shut up. You know, when in doubt, shut your mouth. And he didn't do any of that. Let's go to Nick. You're up next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate what you do. Toby, I just wanted to ask you, I'm a member of the NRA, a member of the USCCA. What organization can I join or donate to support, you know, gun rights and, you know, forwarding legislation in New Hampshire, this state specifically?
That's a great question. I should know this, but the Firearms Policy Coalition is doing a really good job of, you know, filing legislation everywhere in whatever state is violating our constitutional rights. There is a gun rights group in New Hampshire, and there are a couple of little grassroots organizations. One is New Hampshire Firearms Coalition. So I would look into that. There's another one, Gun Owners of New Hampshire. I honestly don't know much about either of these organizations, but the one, Gun Owners of New Hampshire, is very similar to GOLD. They're like the Gun Owners Action League is the NRA arm of the, you know, state organization. It's the state organization affiliated with the NRA, but they run very autonomously. You know, they deal with their own case law and their own gun rights issues here in the state. So I really love GOLD, Gun Owners Action League. So I would look at Gun Owners in New Hampshire if they're similar to Gun Owners Action League here in Massachusetts. So that's probably a good place to start.
All right, Nick, thank you for the call. Let's go to Marty. You're up next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Go ahead, Marty.
Yes, thank you. Enjoy your show. I just wanted to see if Toby would repeat the name of the insurance companies. You mentioned a couple of them. I live in Maine, but my son, we have no trouble up here with weapons. I mean, it's very good. But my son has a concealed permit down in Massachusetts, and I'm just wondering what the name of those insurance companies that Toby mentioned, you know, as far as you have any problems.
Sure. Yeah, no sweat, Marty. It's the two are U.S. Law Shield and USCCA, the United States Concealed Carry Association. So both of them offer great protection. But don't fool yourself into thinking that you're in Maine and you're good because there's, you know, we have good laws up here. The guy in Texas that shot that guy in the church service there, it was about as open and shut a case in a very gun-friendly state. It was pretty obvious to everyone there that he was defending the church against this guy who came in with a shotgun. And his case cost like $106,000 to defend himself in a very gun-friendly state, in an open-shut, defensive use of a firearm. It still racked up $106,000 in legal bills. So you don't want to leave yourself out there just because your state is a good state. So it's cheap money. Get the insurance, as far as I'm concerned. If you do U.S. Law Shield, you can do CGWMA as a promo code. You'll get a little bit of a savings there. And, you know, you'll get an extra month of protection free of charge. So I'm not really here to plug my own stuff, but that you asked, so I'm giving it to you. So there you go.
Plug away, Toby. We love it. We love a good discount code. We're cheap bastards. That's here, right? At the Grace Curley Show. All right, let's go to Kevin. You're up next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, Grace and Toby. Listen to your show every day while I'm driving.
Thank you.
I have a G27 40 cal. That's just too much. So I put a Lone Wolf 9mm barrel in it, but I can't seem to find any 9mm mags to fit my G27. Only, I mean, you can shoot the 9 out of the 40 mag, but the first one hangs up every time.
Right, right. Yeah, get the Glock 26 mags. That's what you need. The Glock 26 mags.
Glock 26?
Yep. They're the, and the Glock 19 or Glock 17 mags will work as well. They'll just stick down a little bit. But if you want the flush-fitting mag, you want the Glock 26. The same size frame as the 27, so the 26 is just the 9mm version.
All right, thanks for the call, Kevin. Let's go to Jim. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Go ahead, Jim. All right, Jim's connection's a little rough. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're up next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, how you doing, Toby? My sister-in-law just got her license to carry a Mass.
Yep.
And our uncle just gave her a gun. He lives in New Hampshire, so she was wondering what she has to do. Does she need to register that? Or
yes, yeah, she does. She'll have to do, you know, if it's a handgun, the best bet is to give it back to him and let him ship it down to an FFL, because she can't do that across state lines legally. And that's the best way to do it, have it shipped to the local gun store. So that way she doesn't get in trouble. If it was a long gun, then she can just register it on the EFA10 portal. It's the gun transaction portal. And if you just Google EF as in Frank, A as in Apple, and then 10, it'll pop right up. You'll be able to find it. She can register the firearm now, but really easy to do.
All right. Thank you, Steve. And Tom, you're last up today with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, sure. I get to be the old maid. But anyway, the reason why I'm calling is, Grace, you brought up the issue of Alec Baldwin and his excuse on why it wasn't his fault. But maybe Toby would remember this, but I remember this case maybe like 5-7 years ago about these two kids. They were two brothers. I think they were teenagers, and they had a rifle, the father's rifle, and the gun went off and killed one of the brothers, and the other brother went to jail for murder. And he claimed he never pulled the trigger, and I think it was years later the gun manufacturer came out with a recall notice saying that the hammer can drop and the gun can fire accidentally, even without pulling the trigger. Do you remember that case?
I think I do. It might have involved a Remington 700 rifle. They definitely had some trigger issues, and there was big lawsuits around it. And it was like in the manufacturing process, they shaved 27 cents off the manufacturing of the trigger, and it ended up costing them millions of dollars in lawsuits, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, there was some, you know, and that's what I said, you know, other than manufacturing defects, the guns that are manufactured today, and we were specifically talking about handguns at the time, but they're manufactured in a way that if they're dropped or in some way, shape, or form misused, if you will, without pulling the trigger, they shouldn't go bang. And if they do, there's a manufacturing defect or maybe some sort of aftermarket trigger put into it or some conglomerate of parts that would be way outside the warranty issues anyway. So that kind of stuff does happen when people start to tinker. But if it's a factory gun, it's generally speaking very, very safe. And if it isn't, it's brought to the manufacturer's attention very quickly. Generally speaking, a recall or a replacement part is issued immediately to fix the problem. So,
and in the case of Alec Baldwin, he was on a movie set, and I'm sure, like Toby said, there's a lot of footage of what actually happened. So I think there's a lot less mystery in this case.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Toby Leary, thank you so much for coming on. Please let people know where they can find you if they want to stop by Cape Gunworks. I know you're getting written up now in newspapers all over the country, but still let people know in case they're not sure.
Yeah, they can follow our work at capegunworks.com. They can sign up to be notified when we're going to record our radio show, Rapid Fire. They can go to rapidfireradio.us. And they can also just come down to the store. We'd love to have you, give you a tour, show you the range, show you the pro shop. It's in Hyannis, Massachusetts on Airport Road. And anywhere you go on social media, we're at Cape Gunworks, except for Instagram, who Zuckerberged us. We're CGW_backup. And we look forward to having you join us on Friday, Grace. You and Howie will be joining us for a live remote. We're really excited about that.
I can't wait, Toby. And I'm also going to retrieve my fancy water bottle, which I left there at our last remote, which was 2 months ago. And I've been dehydrated ever since.
It's sitting on my desk as we speak. When I filled in for you a couple of weeks ago, I should have just brought it, but I forgot.
I can't wait. It's a nice excuse for me for the last 2 months not to drink any water, but I'm back on my water grind once I get to Cape Gunworks.
Oh,
all right. Thank you so much to Toby Leary. Again, make sure you check them out at capegunworks.com. And this is just a side note for everyone. I wanted to announce our gas money winner for today is Eric from Hollis, New Hampshire. You've won $50 of gas from Howie and myself. So look for an email from store@howiecarshow.com. You can still enter at gracecurlyshow.com. We will be right back with the captain. This is the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody.
Nobody.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets, and it's incumbent on you to be prepared. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code Howie10 to get 10% off your next purchase. Taylor Cormier, what's the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will the DOJ opt to release the affidavit?
No, I don't think they will.
65% say no.
Trump wants them to, which is a pretty good sign that they won't. Joining me now is Howard Lawrence Carr. Howie, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
There are so many stories out there surrounding this FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago that I think that a recurring headline, which is the problem at our southern border, can get lost in the chaos. But there's
also the first anniversary of Afghanistan.
Yes. And there's two huge stories. But Howie, I wanted to get your take on this number. Record numbers of migrants cross southern border with 2 million annual total in sight.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. There was a fight amongst illegal aliens at a beach in Winchester the other night, and just people stabbing one another, all this stuff. I mean, it's just this rampant lawlessness just everywhere in the country, letting them into. And then they're taking over this luxury hotel in New York. Did you see that one? The Row Hotel. You know, if you want a discount, the code to get a discount is MS-13.
Well, also, and this is just from Red State, 10 people are on an FBI terror watch list arrested at border in July as crisis rages on. And the key word in that, Howie, is the people that are arrested. We have no idea how many people get through who are never caught.
No, we don't. And again, it's just the crime is getting worse and worse and worse. I talked about this. Now it's in central Pennsylvania. This guy who ran down the funeral participants on Sunday night. He looks like he's an illegal alien. Then he killed his mother. You had a quote-unquote retired landscaper who'd been in the country for 7 years. He was arrested for molesting a young girl. He'd taken her to a casino. I mean, how does an illegal alien who worked as a gardener have money to go to a casino with this little underage girl? Welfare is the answer, obviously.
Howie Carr has a huge show planned, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back tomorrow for our Wednesday program. This is The Grace Curley Show.